Welcome to the Call to True Beauty, where we will help you build healthy, violence-free relationships. The Call to True Beauty is a production of WCLK, Verizon Wireless, and the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. For the next hour, we'll examine important issues and discuss ways to empower you or your loved ones troubled by these issues. We'll also take your calls and hear your stories. Here's your host for the Call to True Beauty, former judge and president and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, Daphne Walker.
Good evening. You're listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. We're glad to have you join us again this week to talk about what we're calling the bystander effect. What would you do if you saw domestic violence taking place? Would you be willing to take a stand if you saw someone being threatened or abused in a domestic violence situation? Or would you be that person that just stands by and watches it taking place and not really doing anything to prevent the domestic violence from happening? I'm Daphne Walker, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and we are here with the Call to True Beauty. It's made possible by Verizon Wireless and Clark Atlanta University. And if you would like to join our conversation tonight, you can call us at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. Again, we're talking about what would you do if you saw domestic violence taking place. Tonight's guest is Donna Brock. She's the Director of Strategic Communications at Clark Atlanta University and also the convener of the Call to True Beauty campaign. And it is a campaign at Clark Atlanta University that talks about and addresses the issue of domestic violence on a consistent basis with the student population at Clark Atlanta University. Donna, why don't you tell us a little bit about that campaign before we get into the bystander effect?
Thank you. I am delighted to be here, and it's a pleasure to have you hosting the Call to True Beauty radio show, Daphne.
Thank you.
One of the things that Clark Atlanta has committed itself to institutionally is the crusade against dating and domestic violence. And so on an ongoing basis throughout every academic year, we make sure that we have campaigns to inform and educate our students about the signs and the incidences of dating and domestic violence. And we also have specific programming that observes National Domestic Violence Awareness Month every October. This year we'll be celebrating that week beginning October 19th, starting with a worship service on Sunday and then with very specific intensive programming throughout the week. We have been delighted to partner with organizations such as Verizon Wireless, Avon Products, and of course the Partnership Against Domestic Violence over the last 4 years. This will be our fifth year. So wow. It is a commitment that's ongoing. We're also very pleased that we've had the partnership of the City of Atlanta and Fulton County in this effort. And it continues to grow. We started out calling this the little campaign that could, and here we are on the radio. And every woman and man that we educate about the crime of dating and domestic violence, it's a win.
That's great stuff. We're really excited also to be partnering with Clark Atlanta University on that project because we understand that the topic that we're going to talk about tonight, the bystander effect, affects everybody, not just older individuals that might be in relationships, but also teenagers and also college-age students. So just to educate our audience a little bit, Donna, what is the bystander effect? What do we mean when we talk about the bystander effect?
The bystander effect basically means that you see a crime happening, but you're simply a bystander. You don't do anything. In some cases, it's because people are entertained. So if there's viral internet occurrences, or if someone witnesses a crime on the internet, and videos are rampant, I must say, unfortunately. If people see a crime in person, if someone is a witness to, for example, digital stalking or digital harassment, it's very important that the public understand that domestic violence, even technological violence, is a crime. And so just as you would report or attempt to solicit help for someone whose purse was stolen or for a hit and run in an automobile, you also would hopefully do the same thing for someone who is a victim of dating or domestic violence.
And one of the things we know about the bystander effect is that when it is an emergency situation that occurs, more often than not, observers are more likely to take action if there are fewer witnesses there. If they think there's a full crowd, we kind of see the response of, well, somebody in the crowd is going to call the police, so I won't worry about it. What do you want to talk to the audience about with regards to that?
I want to say that that is, of course, a personal decision. We would never ask anyone to put themselves in harm's way. But if you see the crime, then it really is ethically incumbent upon you to report the crime. And if appropriate, and again, if not putting yourself in harm's way, to offer assistance to that victim. The problem with dating and domestic violence is that it is a crime that can be so easily hidden and so easily disguised that in many occasions, you're not physically there when it happens. But if, in fact, you are, then we do want you to reach out to law enforcement. We do want you to reach out to, in some cases, if it's appropriate, ministerial counsel. And, of course, we absolutely want you to reach out to the victim. We have a program here on Clark Atlanta's campus called the ASAP program. And one of the things we do is we train students who are hand selected to be peer educators and peer advocates because they're actually in dormitories with other students who, unfortunately, at points in their college careers may experience dating or domestic violence. And so we train them first and foremost to go to those who may be victims of dating and domestic violence and tell them you're not alone.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. Tonight's conversation is the bystander effect. If you saw domestic violence taking place, would you be willing to call the police or to intervene in a way that would protect someone who's the victim of domestic violence? If you want to join the conversation tonight, please give us a call at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. We have a call from Lynn in DeKalb. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
What would you like to share with us tonight on the topic of the bystander effect?
Well, I just want to say that this situation occurred to me last fall in a shopping center near my home, and I happened to be shopping with my grandson, and I noticed a couple that seemed to be arguing, and the young man started closing in on her, pushing her, having her back up into a corner. And I told my grandson to go into the store while I kind of kept an eye about what was going on because they were loud, but I couldn't hear exactly what they were saying. But I just noticed that he was becoming more menacing, eventually pinning her into a corner where she tried to leave and was trying to get around him, and he was preventing her from doing that. I had noticed when I came into the shopping center, there was a police squad car in the parking lot, and I went to get them, and they came back with me, and he was arrested. And I gave a statement, and several months later, I was contacted by the DA's office and to ask to come to court to testify because they informed me that this was not the first occasion that he had been arrested for alleged domestic violence against this young woman, but that every time she had refused to press charges, and they had no other witnesses. So I agreed to go to court, and we did. And the day that I went to court, he pled guilty because I had shown up as a witness. And, my hope, I was glad that happened, and my hope was that, he would get help and they would both get help, but I just would like everybody to know that, if you do step up, you are changing somebody's life, I believe, and I wanted to set an example for my grandson that it's not okay, this kind of behavior. They were a young couple, probably not more than 5-6 years older than him. But, I just wanted to set an example for him and to do what I believe and what I just heard Donna say, that, you know, I believe you have a moral obligation when you see something happen to try to do what you can in the situation.
Lynn, we really appreciate your call, and you actually brought up a number of different issues that I think come when we talk about the bystander effect. First, I want to thank you for being willing to speak up, because what we do know is that when individuals decide to speak up and they intervene in what they see as a domestic violence situation, more often than not, that perpetrator will back down, because they don't want the public to know that they're engaged in the domestic violence conduct. And oftentimes it's something that's always happened behind closed doors. So if, in fact, you're willing to intervene and say, wait a minute, I'm going to call the police, or even ask that person, hey, is everything okay? Just asking that question can really put that perpetrator in a situation where they may decide to leave the person alone for fear that someone may witness it. The other important thing, I think, that Lynn, did you share with us, is the fact that you wanted to make an example or create an example for your grandson that will let him know that it's not okay to engage in domestic violence, and that if he sees it or if he witnesses it, that he should respond in a particular way. And we think that's really important, because what we do know is Georgia's number one in the country for teen dating violence. And so what is also helpful is for us to begin the process of educating the teen population as well on the issues of domestic violence, and helping them to make very healthy choices on the front end. Donna, one of the other things she brought up was that she watched them. You know, I watched him argue. I watched mm-hmm. him pin her in the corner. You know, she gave, you know, it enough time for her to see, is there truly something going on, or am I intervening in something that may not be an issue? And also the fact that the defendant pled guilty once mm-hmm. he realized that witness was going to come to court mm-hmm. and to testify. What do we know about that? If a person is willing to intervene and they are willing to show up for court, how does that generally help in prosecution?
Well, what we know is it increases the rate of prosecution. And in addition to that, one of the things that's so important is she said she watched them, she observed them, because in most cases, people will simply say, every husband and wife argues. I certainly said that in my first encounter of dating and domestic violence, which over 20 years ago resulted in the death of my friend Karen. I just thought husbands and wives argued, and that was my introduction to the whole concept of domestic violence and the crime of domestic violence. And so just as you wouldn't differentiate between someone walking by a car and someone breaking into a car, it does take observation. So she began, and I think there are a number of positive examples that she shared with us in this one act of, and I want to thank you for your courage and conviction. First of all, she said she stopped to observe. Second of all, she did not put herself in harm's way, but she went out to get the police. And it's very important that the listening public understand no one is asking you to put yourself in harm's way. That only worsens the situation. She actually was probably more of a help than she knew, because a lot of the victims are so frustrated by what happens in the court system that they don't follow through with their own cases. There are a number of incidences where women have agreed initially to press charges and to go forward in prosecuting their abuser, but because of pivots and turns in the legal system, and certainly I don't need to tell you about that, but, you know, if, for example, if a woman is in a homeless shelter and she goes to court, we know of incidences where her children have been removed because she doesn't have a permanent address.
Sure.
They're all different kinds of possibilities, but because there was a witness willing to come and concretely say, I saw this happen, I am testifying that this was abuse. Of course, fortunately, in this case, they were able to prosecute. I think there's another perspective here, though, and it's important that the public understand. So many times with dating and domestic violence, we hear people say, why doesn't she just leave him? It takes the average victim of dating and domestic violence 7 to 8 times to get out of an abusive situation. And so to have someone come and testify and say, this woman was put in danger, this man was a threat, he was menacing, he committed a crime, probably offered her the opportunity for a clean transformation. Because mm-hmm. what we also know is that the most one of the most dangerous times in an abusive situation is when, in fact, a woman is attempting to leave.
Right.
And that doesn't always mean to physically leave. Sometimes that means I am exhibiting behaviors that convey independence in some shape, form, or fashion. So I really want to thank you for your courage and your conviction and the fact that in that moment you made the decision to help.
You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK, and it is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. We are talking tonight on the topic of what would you do if you saw domestic violence taking place? And the issue that we're really discussing is, what is the bystander effect? Are you a person that would actively respond and make sure that that person did not continue to be a victim of domestic violence? Or would you just stand by and watch it taking place?